This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. President Bush last night delivered his final State of the Union address before November's presidential election. The president defended his policies in the war on terror in Afghanistan and Iraq. The president talked about the need to continue work in Iraq after the fall of Saddam Hussein, despite the dangers.
Having broken the Ba'athist regime, we face a remnant of violent Saddam supporters. Men who ran away from our troops in battle are now dispersed and attacked from the shadows. These killers, joined by foreign terrorists, are a serious continuing danger. Yet we're making progress against them.
The president's nearly hour-long speech also served as an outline for his re-election campaign. Joining me now are NPR news analyst Cokey Roberts and Jack Pitney, a professor of government at Claremont McKenna College in California. Good morning.
Good morning.
In his first State of the Union address, there was the axis of evil remark. The second speech called a war in Iraq. How would you characterize last night's speech, Cokey?
It's stay the course. This is the guy to take us into the next 4 years, is really what he was saying. And that's what he needs to convince people of. There was an ABC poll yesterday that showed that he and the Democrats in Congress are tied to on the question of who do you trust to handle the country's main problems. So this is something that the president really is vulnerable on, and he has to convince people he is the person. There was lots of post-game show comment by Republicans about the president's optimism. They think that that's some place where they can draw a contrast with the Democratic candidates for president. The Democrats, in their response, talked about an opportunity society because they also want to appear to be optimistic. And the Gallup poll overnight says that the response to the president was 45% very positive. Now, that's pretty much his base number, Bob, 45%. The Democrats have about 45% too. That's where the fight is over getting to that 50%.
Jack Pitney, what'd you think?
Well, I was reminded of something Carl von Clausewitz wrote in On War, that the defense is a series of well-directed blows. To some extent, the president was defending his policy against criticism, but there was a very tough tone at times about that criticism, and he was very pointed about the arguments made by the other side at one point, saying that there are some in the room who, quote unquote, opposed the liberation of Iraq, which was a very tough-minded way of putting it. Obviously, the re-election was very much on his mind, and it showed that he's preparing for a difficult campaign.
Well, he said America would never seek a permission slip to defend itself. Does that mean he's defending the go-it-alone foreign policy?
Well, he would argue that it wasn't a go-it-alone foreign policy, given that he made a point of enumerating the other countries that had helped with Iraq. But he was obviously directing his comments toward Howard Dean and others who had sought an even greater role for the United Nations.
It's interesting, though, that he made that comment at a time when Paul Bremer, his point man in Iraq, has been at the United Nations trying to get its support for the rebuilding of Iraq. So I think that it was a tough time to make that comment.
So it wasn't old Europe he was talking about?
No. I think old Europe needs to come along if he wants to do the amount of nation building that he referred to last night, though.
Well, the polls show more Americans care about the economy than the war in Iraq or terrorism. The president credited tax cuts for the recent economic improvement and called on Congress to make them permanent. Is that likely to happen?
Well, I think it's more likely to happen than anything else he called for. Now, in his response, Senate Minority Leader Tom Daschle said the president wants permanent tax cuts. He asked us to create more tax shelters for the wealthy, and he asked us to use Social Security money to pay for it. That's what the Democratic line will be. But, you know, cutting taxes is not a really hard thing to get Congress to do. It's a pretty popular thing. So depending on whether the fiscal conservatives in the Republican Party decide that that it's enough, that the deficit's too high, that they don't want to go there, I think that making the tax cuts permanent is not something that you shouldn't expect.
How about that, Professor?
Yeah, I think we have a great example of both parties trying to steal the other party's clothes. Last night, the president was talking about his initiatives on education, Medicare, and immigration, all of which should appeal to at least some Democratic voters. But on the other hand, the Democrats were careful to talk about the Opportunity Society, which is a phrase that they borrowed directly from Newt Gingrich. So on some issues, such as the tax cut, again, the president's going to get at least some Democratic support.
Well, there's jobs. Democrats keep emphasizing the number of jobs lost during the Bush term, and the president talked about a new job training program. Is that likely to help his standing in the polls?
Well, it won't be enough to bring up the number of jobs to anything like what has been lost, but it is interesting. Again, he talked about giving more grants for people going to college, so-called Pell Grants. He talked a lot about the value of community colleges and job training, and he's emphasizing that today by going to Toledo and to Phoenix, two community colleges with job training programs. That's more money again. This is really getting to be an interesting time when you have a Republican president calling for all kinds of programs that cost a lot of money.
Jack Bendy, what do you think there?
Yes, and the emphasis on community college is interesting from a political standpoint because a lot of people go to community colleges, and that's a constituency that's often forgotten by national policymakers, although very tellingly, it's something that Bill Clinton liked to emphasize as well. Another example of President Bush trying to get into some Democratic territory.
The president decided to bring up the issue of gay marriage. Is that surprising in a State of the Union speech?
Not in an election year. I think that that he is seeing it as a hot button issue, an issue that can be very resonant with the Republican base. But interestingly, as Jack has just said, again, he invoked the spirit of President Clinton there, saying that the President Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act, and that statute protects marriage under federal law as a union of a man and woman. And he didn't call straight out for a constitutional amendment on marriage. He said, if judges insist on forcing their arbitrary will upon the people, the only alternative left to the people would be the constitutional process. So even though he brought it up, he's treading a little bit lightly.
Were there any surprises for you, Jack Pitney?
Well, one thing from here in California was the mention of steroids, which was an unusual topic to bring, given that the second most famous Republican politician in America right now is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Cookie? Anything to add on that?
Well, it was interesting last night, Bob, not in the speech itself, but for the first time, in addition to a cabinet absentee in case disaster struck the Capitol, there were congressional absentees, and that's part of a whole movement to try to provide for congressional succession. A constitutional amendment has been proposed in case disaster should strike the Capitol.
Thank you both very much, NPR News analyst Cokie Roberts and Jack Pitney, a professor of government at Claremont McKenna College in California, also the author of the book The Art of Political Warfare. Audio of the State of the Union address is at npr.org.